Big Monday here in Manhattan. Welcome into Wildcat Insider. I'm John Kurtz. Mitch Fortner is with me here. We're going to have a rotating cast of characters throughout the next 3 hours to get you ready for pregame coverage of K-State and Kansas. Wyatt Thompson is out at Bramlage as we speak. He's going to join me later on here in the first hour at around 4:40 and chat for 20 minutes or so about K-State's huge win over Baylor and an even bigger game, arguably tonight against Kansas here in Bramlage Coliseum. Tyler Dreiling will also be joining in as well to help out throughout Wildcat Insider. And then later on at 6 o'clock, you get a bonus. Tyler will be with me for that. You're going to hear from Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, and Cole Manbeck stopping by live and in person to help us out with Powercat Game Day as well. So that's essentially the lineup for the next 3 hours. In hour two of Wildcat Insider, I mentioned Brian Haney. You will hear him as well, voice of the Jayhawks. How much of all the off-the-court issues been weighing on this Kansas team on the court, as we saw it come to fruition somewhat with a loss to Iowa State on Saturday. And they have a special guest as well at 5:40 in studio too. We'll get you more details on that as the show rolls along. As always, you can send your questions or comments to the Game KMAN on Twitter or call us 537-1350, toll free 866-776-1350. Well, a lot has changed since the last time I spoke with you here in this format in terms of K-State season, and that is because the Wildcats went and got themselves a top-five road win by knocking off the Baylor Bears in Waco, and it was a very, very impressive effort for K-State. I don't care how that game finished, that was the highest-ranked team Kansas State has beaten on the road since 1994 when they took down top-ranked Kansas in Allen Fieldhouse. You cannot undervalue the significance of that win, I think, in a lot of different ways. Let me be the first to come out and say we had what sounded like a funeral for the season on Thursday, basically, after the TCU game, when it felt like, I mean, to be honest, it felt like the beginning of the end for this season. It felt like that was going to be the straw that broke the camel's back. But this team did not listen to all the noise. They didn't listen to what we said. They didn't listen to what was being written. They went out there and just blitzed Baylor from the word go. I don't think Baylor was particularly locked in at the beginning of that game after pouring out their heart and soul in Allen Fieldhouse earlier in the week, but it doesn't matter. That's the number one RPI team in the country, and you had them down by 19 in the first half. K-State came to play, and they had to absolutely hang on for dear life to end that game. I won't deny that either. But at the end of the day, winning that game is what matters. Getting the W is what you hang your hat on, and judging by what a wacky day it was in the Big 12 with three top 10 teams losing at home, I mean, it just underscores the importance of, hey, it's just all about finding a way to win, getting a victory. And when you can get road victories, that helps cancel out things like losing to TCU at home when you're talking about the math for getting to the NCAA tournament. And we could talk about where K-State's at in the tournament projections here throughout the show. They're a 10 seed as of right now in both of the major projections after that win over Baylor. And you could argue, we could go right back to the argument about how much on the bubble they are or aren't going into this game against Kansas. But I think the bigger picture here is that what K-State got from that game was just a ton more confidence, a shot in the arm for not only the players on the team, but the fan base, I mean the coaches, just everybody involved with the program. I think there's a lot more excitement for this Kansas game, for one, because of that victory over Baylor. Like I said, the mood was that of a funeral. The mood was that of, this team really might not make the NCAA tournament. This team might not be what we thought it was going to be. They're not deep enough. All the depth issues and injury issues have worn on this team, and that loss to TCU is just going to be too much of a killer. They're going to lose the next three and be buried at 4-8 in the Big 12 by the time they come out of the other side. That didn't happen with the win over Baylor, and that gets you back on track. And it makes you excited to play this game against Kansas. I think it just added a ton of excitement for this game against Kansas. Instead of people being more gloom and doom about what was going to happen here in this game and what the atmosphere would be like. I mean, think about it. As weird as it is, we were so fired up. Everybody in Manhattan, the fans, the team, the players, like everybody, even outside fan bases, were fired up about how that game ended in Allen Fieldhouse. And yet, I was sitting there on Saturday before the Baylor game tipped off just shrugging my shoulders really about the Kansas game, and there wasn't too much in the way of talk about that. I think if you lose the Baylor game, there's just so much more conversation about the overall big picture projections for this season, like where this season is going. Do they have any shot at the tournament? What's going to happen with the future of the program? Who's going to be the coach next year? Like, those are the types of things we'd be sitting here talking about more than, hey, is K-State going to be able to get DJ Johnson through a game without foul trouble against Kansas and take advantage of him inside and perhaps win a second straight game against a top 10 team? I mean, I think it has completely changed the lens through which we view the game that's about to happen tonight at 8 o'clock in Bramlage. And that's one of the biggest things about this. And it goes even further than just the game tonight against Kansas. I think it's the direction of the program and how confident people may be in what this team's going to do this year, which will dictate what happens with the future of the program. I mean, I didn't think they had that in them. I know Baylor is not necessarily Kansas. It's not like winning an Allen Fieldhouse, but that's about as good as it gets in this league outside of Kansas, and I didn't think this team had what it took to do that. They've displayed the ability to take care of an okay team on the road, and we saw that in Oklahoma State. And by the way, Oklahoma State now has the 27th RPI in the country, so maybe you could take me to task for even just saying that's beating an okay team on the road. But they have displayed the ability to do that. We know, obviously, they can beat teams of that caliber at home, as we saw in Texas and Oklahoma early in Big 12 play. And we saw them beat a very good team at home. But we didn't know that they could beat a very good team on the road. And that just seemed to me to be too high of a hurdle for this team to clear. Even though they do have some talent and they're a pretty good team, I didn't think they had that in them. And they proved it. And they went out and did it on Saturday. So now I think it adjusts how you view where the program could go, what this team could do the rest of the year. Now, at the same time, they could go get blown out by Kansas tonight. I think they will have a very tough time on the road in Morgantown, West Virginia, because of that matchup and how West Virginia plays. And they could lose that game by 10, 15 points. And you would be coming out on the other side, still two games below 500 in the league at 5-7, firmly right back on the bubble there when the schedule starts to turn over and become a little easier in the back half of things in the conference slate. So that still could happen. But even if that does, you know, I think being able to pluck out one of those three puts you in position to be fine headed down the stretch because the games get so much easier. You still got Oklahoma State coming to Bramlage. You still got Texas Tech coming to Bramlage. You've got manageable road games at Oklahoma, at Texas. The schedule just turns into a much more manageable proposition once you get through these three straight games against top 10 teams. So even if you are two games below 500 in the league right then, you still feel like you're tracking for 9 or 10 wins in the league. So it just completely, I think, changes the outlook of the season for a number of different reasons going into this game. And it's all beyond just the obvious of, hey, now you're back in the NCAA tournament picture in the eyes of those that are prognosticating right now, the Joe Lenardis of the world, because you are, for one. But now, and it's not just this year, you know, when you have something bad happen in this season, it's just natural when you lose at home to TCU to get down on the team and where things are at. And, hey, this is year five and you're losing to TCU at home. Where are things at? All of a sudden you go show that you have the ceiling of a team that can go win at a top five team. I think that changes my view slightly on where the ceiling is with this program under Bruce Weber. It gave me some hope that he can do some things that I wasn't sure that he could do before what we saw on Saturday. So, you know, if they make the tournament this year, I have a little bit more faith that they could go build on that and be a better tournament team next year. You know, I've had my doubts, and I think I've voiced those before here on the show, that next year losing DJ Johnson and having a lot of inexperienced bigs is a major concern, and it still is. And, you know, I still, as we sit here today, would not be convinced that next year's team is going to be better than this year's team. But this core group of guys that went out and did it, Kamau Stokes, Dean Wade, everybody that was so crucial in this game, minus DJ Johnson, I mean, they're all going to be back. They're now going to have the experience of breaking through with that game against Baylor. They've already beaten Oklahoma State on the road this year. I mean, they've done some things that they had not done as a group before, and I do think there's a mental aspect to it, a confidence aspect to it, just being able to see that you've done it. And I think all those things fall under the umbrella of what you did by beating Baylor on the road. Still a close game, still a game that you almost blew in the end, and it's literally the difference of potentially one more Manu LeCompte three, Jonathan Motley deciding to dunk the ball and going to overtime. I mean, we were that close from having a totally different conversation of, hey, even when this team gets a 19-point lead in the first half, even when they get gifted a 19-point lead in the first half, they can't hang on to the second half. This team still can't close out close games, win on the road, da-da-da-da-da. The whole list, you know it. You've heard it all before this year. We would have been going down that path. And maybe that is another another feather in the cap of winning this game, just avoiding that conversation and all the negativity that would come with it in addition to all the positive that happened. So I think you can see the picture I'm painting here is that was a very important win on a ton of different levels. And let me just not be the first, because, I mean, hey, it's 4 o'clock 2 days after it happened, but let me be one that joins the party in saying congratulations to the team for doing that, and they outsmarted me. They did something I did not think that they could do. So credit where credit's due. They deserve it for going and getting that win at Baylor. Again, coming up on the show, Wyatt Thompson's going to join me a little bit later on at around 4:40 here for the back half of the first hour of the show. He's already out at Bramlage Coliseum, and we'll find out just how much all the off-the-court stuff is weighing on Kansas with Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks at 5:25, special guest in studio at 5:40 as well. I did see this on Twitter right now, Mitch. Unfortunately, the Big 12 refs have just tweeted that ahead of the 8 o'clock tip-off tonight, tough break for K-State as Kansas is already in the bonus with just about 4 hours left until game time.
That's so great news. Great news.
Big 12 refs say that Kansas already going to be at the foul line for foul number one that occurs actually during the game.
Appreciate them letting us know early.
Yeah. Yeah, well, last time we didn't get the big blow from the Big 12 refs really until the very last play of the game was Fee and his travel and everything. Now they're just going to go ahead and hand it to us early. Just be prepared, K-State fans. No, in all seriousness, follow at Big 12 refs on Twitter if you want more jokes like that throughout. I'm sure the game tonight, I'm sure they will be very active during the game tonight, because it's not just K-State fans that were upset about what happened at Allen. Like that seemed to just galvanize the entire league even more, which is just waiting for any excuse to get over officials for helping out Kansas. So there's going to be probably 8 other fan bases in the league tonight that will be on K-State's side as far as that is concerned. When we come back, I mentioned all the off-the-court stuff that's happening with Kansas. That continues to swirl around the program. One of those guys that's been at the center of a lot of it is Carlton Bragg, and he did not play against Iowa State when the Jayhawks lost on Saturday in Allen Fieldhouse. Will he play tonight? We'll get you the latest when we come back here on Wildcat Insider.